CFM.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
Check it out.
About to tee off.
On?
Facebook. I'm not happy.
You're going to take on a big organisation.
Yeah.
This is...
I don't care.
One girl's mission to take down the biggest social media platform the world has seen.
I don't even know what his last name is anymore. I don't care about you, Zuckerberg. I'm not happy.
Zucker nerd.
Yeah.
Take that.
Shots fired.
Yeah, rich millionaire, billionaire guy.
I am sick of Facebook putting ads in between my videos. Have you seen this new feature?
I haven't seen.
Well, it's not a feature. It's just this new thing that Facebook are doing.
You're in the middle of a video. Yes. There's no kind of break. It's not like a TV show where it goes to a break. It's just ad.
Literally, you'll be watching a video. Usually, it's about 30 seconds in to the video, right, and it just puts an ad.
Never seen it.
It has in the corner, your video will start again in how many seconds? So you have to watch the ad before you continue to watch the video. I refuse. I don't care how good the video is. As soon as the ad comes on, gone. See ya.
What about the videos you do? What if it's like you say something offensive to your mum and then your mum goes, oh, Brie, and then there's an ad. You don't even get the Brianna out there.
Well, the people who have the ads, Facebook are paying them. So they're not on my videos.
Right.
So... But these people are choosing to have the ads in between their videos.
Okay, so it's not a Facebook issue. It's whoever's making the videos selling their soul for some cash.
No, but like it is Facebook because this is something that Facebook has created to obviously create more revenue from Facebook.
Right.
But it really ticks me off because a lot of people obviously create pages on Facebook, which I don't know how many people know this, but pages like UniLad and the Lad Bible, all those pages have been created to make money.
Yeah.
That's what those pages are for. And they steal other people's content. They rip other people's content off their page and they post it to those pages, all to create a platform to advertise on. That's what those pages are for.
Yeah, so they get the big followers and then when this rolls around, they can go bang, cha-ching, I'll take that from Facebook and make some coin.
We're signing up, exactly right.
Yeah.
I called Facebook the other day.
Did you?
Called them.
Just the Australian office?
No, the LA office. Called Facebook.
Did Zuckerberg answer?
Who answers the phone? Yeah, it was actually. No, of course Zuckerberg didn't answer.
Hello, Mark speaking.
It was one of his little minions. And I asked them about it, and they just pretended not to know what I was talking about.
Really?
But it was interesting because one of my mates, we both know, Tanya Hennessy.
Yeah.
I was talking to her about it the other day, and she was actually at Facebook in LA because she did an American trip the other day, and she was there, and they approached her to put ads on her videos.
Right, okay.
So this is a thing that Facebook apparently are going to be rolling out quite a lot, and it's going to be happening more and more in terms of, you know, having ads played in between your videos.
Yeah, well, certainly it's annoying. I mean, I hate it with YouTube.
Well, exactly.
Isn't there an app or something on YouTube where you can get it gone?
Ad blocker.
So I wonder if someone will come up with something for that for Facebook. Wouldn't they?
I don't know. It just annoys me.
I know.
I'm sick of it. But I love how I just take a stand and I'm like, as soon as the ad plays, I'm like, I don't care how cute that little baby goat is. I'm not watching it.
Then you're like,
I might come back to it.
Pretty cute goat.
Might come back to it.
Here's some ads, guys.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
I need to bring something up.
Yes.
Do you know what's coming?
No.
Oh, we need to talk about this.
Is it between you and I? Is it between someone else?
It's something about you.
Oh.
Look.
What?
We've talked about on this show before, you're a bit of a germaphobe.
Yes.
A little bit. Quite a lot.
No.
You don't like to share food.
I won't share food, no.
You don't like to touch other people's eating utensils?
No. Do you?
You're weird about it.
Yeah?
Last night, we went out to dinner at the Foghorn Brew House. Your brother-in-law, Gareth, was there, your sister, Jody, and they were talking about something that happened between you and your nephews, and I feel like it's gone a bit too far.
Okay.
Apparently, a couple of months ago, obviously Gareth had it.
Pommy Gareth.
You were sharing some chips with your nephew Cooper. And apparently...
He's four. He's five now. He's four at the time. Yeah.
He was four.
Yeah.
Your nephew. He's 4 years old. And apparently you were sharing chips with him.
Yeah.
And at one point, Cooper has double dipped.
Which is it's a big time no.
And you have gotten up your 4-year-old nephew for double dipping. You said, mate, apparently you went off at your nephew for double dipping. You said, mate, Cooper, you can't double dip.
The kid?
We're going to share chips and sauce. You can't double dip.
The kid needs to learn from an early age that this is how it is in the real world. You can't be getting out there, if you don't learn it from a young age, you can't be getting out there double dipping all over the place.
He's 4.
Exactly. Learn early, son.
Is it really because of that that you want him to learn?
Yeah.
Or is it actually because you had a little panic attack germaphobe?
It's not even about being a germaphobe. It's about courtesy. Is what it is. If we're sharing some Doritos and dunking it in the salsa.
Said the OCD germaphobe.
I'm not going to take a bite with my filthy mouth. The mouth's one of the dirtiest places on your body. Did you know that?
But the kid's 4.
I'm just saying he needs to learn. And if he can learn early, the better.
I feel like you're going down that road.
Of what?
That excuse.
What?
That he needs to learn. Because you're not teaching the kid anything else.
Yeah, but if you look at the kid, and look, yes. I love him. He's my nephew. He's a legend.
And he's cute.
He's cute. But he had a grubby face. We've been at the...
Oh, the truth comes out.
We'd been at the reptile park and like...
He's probably touching a bunch of kangaroos.
I saw him pick his nose and eat it at one stage. Oh. I don't need that on my chips. I don't need it. I don't care if we're related.
I love how the truth really comes out in the end.
I went and bought my own chips.
Did you?
Yeah, and I didn't give him any.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Did you? So after the double dip situation,
I stand by it.
Went and bought your own chips.
Yes.
It's gone too far.
I put this community service announcement out there right now. I don't care if you're 4. I don't care if you're learning this at the age of 86. Do not double dip.
I love it if a baby's like, oh, I got double dip. Gordon's like, get that baby away from my sauce.
You've wrecked the whole thing. Now I've got to chuck it
dirty,
out.
Dirty, dirty baby.
Get up with Bree and Gordon.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Callback heroes.
That's the name of the game. Hypothetical situation. Who would you call out of your phone book? If someone said to you, you need to call someone, you need to give them 30 seconds to call you back to save your life.
We tried your dad last week. We're really trying people we think will call back.
Yeah, because we haven't had a good run so far.
No, we haven't. So we really need this one. And leave it with me, Bree. I think I've got someone for us.
I'm trusting you here with my life. So I better be someone good.
One of our big bosses, Ash Myatt.
He's a really nice guy.
Super nice guy.
We have spoken to him recently, so I feel like he will call back.
He's all about us.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's that.
I feel good about it.
Do you like it?
I think so.
I also like testing people as well to see if they would save our lives. So let's go with our big boss, Ash Myatt. So this is the general manager for the whole New South Wales of all the radio stations.
Of the world.
Of the world.
This could be a metaphor for something else if he doesn't call back here. All right.
Let's do it.
Go on.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Hey, Ash. Oh, actually, sorry. Can you call me back in 10 seconds?
Can I call you back in 10 seconds?
That'd be great. Thanks, mate. Cheers. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Yep.
Oh. Start the timer!
Can I call you back in 10 seconds?
As in, what?
You called me, buddy. You'd be calling me back.
Why am I doing all the work here?
I'm the boss here.
Oh,
you call me.
Come on, Ash. I've got faith.
He's very punctual, I've got to say.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Wears a nice suit, if that counts for anything.
Nice jacket.
10 seconds.
Come on,
Ash. Ash Myatt.
Come on, Ash.
Not long. Oh, there's just not long enough.
I guess that means we're fired.
Yeah. There's just not long enough in the... Maybe we need to make it a minute.
No,
maybe
we don't.
Maybe we're overestimating people.
You should never underestimate.
He still hasn't called back. This is just sad that we're sitting on here waiting for him now.
How long do we wait?
Well, it's the big boss. We wait all day. No music until Ash calls back.
Yep.
No nothing. We're all going to wait here. We're all going to just sit here.
Oh.
So how about that weather today?
I do love to ride that rail.
Oh, yeah. That rail is good. Still nothing.
Come on, Ash.
Should I call him back? I'm happy to call him back. Should I call him back?
Go on.
All right, I'll call him back. This is the first in this segment, us calling the person back.
Well, he's our big boss.
I know.
So you can't just leave him hanging. He's going to be like, what the hell?
I know.
Hey, sorry, mate. I had another phone call in between all that. Sorry about it.
You're a busy man. It's Bree's here with me as well, mate.
Hi,
so,
Ash.
Yeah. Hello, Bree. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. But you just killed us in the hypothetical game we're playing.
Oh, no. What was it?
We do a thing called Callback Heroes where we call someone, get them to call us back within 30 seconds to save our life, but they don't know they're doing it, so... anyway, you killed us, but,
Nice one!
I did love, Ash, the, you want me to call you back? Like, as if, come on, mate, as if.
Well, I was thinking, why the f*** would you tell me to call back in 10 seconds? Why don't you call me back in 10 seconds?
It was a test, Ash, and you failed. Oh. You failed.
Ah, there you go.
Don't worry, my dad failed last week, so yeah. It's all good.
Oh, geez, you don't want your parents to fail.
I know.
Exactly, mate. And we consider you a work dad, so you've really let us down.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, geez, I feel so honoured with that. I might put that on the business card.
Do it, mate. Thanks, Ash.
Thanks,
Ash. Don't waste your
time. See you guys. Bye.
We still have a job, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. You can come back.
Legend. Thanks, mate.
Okay, bye.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi. Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3. CFM.
Last night we went to dinner, Foghorn Brewhouse. So there was me, you, Producer Rach came, I invited my sister.
Producer Rach's mum, Mary.
Mary came along. Mary's
avid listener of the show.
Mary's boyfriend's kids came along.
Yeah, they were.
And Pommy Gareth, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband. And we're all sitting at the table. We're all sitting at the table and I didn't have a spoon. I didn't have a spoon to eat what was in front of me.
Yes.
So I go, guys, I don't know.
Everyone heard about it. Guys, everyone stop eating.
I don't have a spoon.
Someone get me a spoon.
At which point Rachel's mum, Mary, goes, I've got one.
Takes the spoon off her back.
Her own spoon that she's been eating her dinner with, dips it in her drinking water, gives it a little swirl, wipes it with her dirty napkin and goes, there you go. And I said, whoa, no.
Not germaphobe, Gaunty.
Admit it, you wouldn't eat off that spoon either.
Probably not.
Exactly. I said, I'm not eating off that spoon. And then it got into this big debate about, oh, I'd eat off the spoon. My sister goes, I'd eat off. I said, all right, we'll eat off the spoon.
And then she did.
Mary. No, well, Rachel's mum, Mary, goes, I would eat off your sister's dirty spoon right now. I said, go on then. So she did. She ate off her plate and it got a bit weird. And the next thing
really
I know.
Really got out of hand.
The next thing I know, we get onto this topic and Pommy Gareth, my brother-in-law, is kissing Rachel's mum.
It's the way you love me. It's a feel like this.
It was the strangest situation because I said, you don't share chapstick.
No.
And other people got on board with me and then Gareth was like, yeah, you don't share chapstick. And then I don't even know how it came about. And then Gareth's like, I'd kiss Rachel's mum,
no,
though.
I think Rachel's mum said, oh, I'd kiss you right now. It wouldn't even matter.
I'd kiss anyone.
Yeah. And Gareth goes, I'd be down with
all
that.
Right.
Next thing, they're puckering up and they're getting it on.
Next minute, Dad, Rachel's got a stepdad.
Next minute, I'm Rachel's uncle. I'm Uncle Gaunty.
It was strange.
Producer H, can you just jump on for a second?
No.
So she doesn't want to talk about it.
Your mum is macking on with my brother-in-law, Pommy Gareth.
Yeah.
What's going through your head at the time?
I looked away.
Did you?
I didn't. I got a real good look.
Bree was strangely turned on by the whole thing. She was like, oh, wow.
Hello.
This is good. Yeah.
No, I grew up getting...
More. Yeah, you grew up what?
I grew up getting embarrassed by my mum and I thought I was done with it until that moment last night.
Oh, she just excelled last night, didn't she?
Can we set up a Mother Mary kissing booth?
Nope.
Can we send Gareth and your mum on a date?
Nope.
You thought about that one, right?
He's married to your sister.
Yeah, but now he's keen on Rachel's mum.
No, he's not.
Is he not?
It was a peck. There was no tongue. Mary tried to slip it in
there. And he said, oh, I'd do it again. And then they went back for more. So once is a mistake, twice is a relationship. Didn't. Is it not? Come on.
Twice is a relationship. I always do say that.
You've kissed people way more than twice.
Yeah, that guy I met at Sirens last Sunday.
Get up with Free and Gaunzy.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Our producer Rach has taken some happy snaps in the studio here. If you're into your motorsport, you'll be across this guy, Luke King, local Central Coast guy. We've been meaning to get Luke on the show for a while, Brett.
Long time. Yeah. Finally, he's here. Morning.
Joins us on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's lovely to be here.
And you actually race the Toyota 86s, right?
Yes, correct. Support category for the V8 supercars. So we raced them last year, second year in the championship this year. Currently sit fourth in the title, hoping to be a coastie that takes it out. So, yeah, we're going well at the moment.
How does that work, man? So if you win this thing, do you get strongly considered for the V8s, or is it like an automatic... Yeah. When you sort of move into the V8s? How does
no,
that
it's
work?
Not an automatic thing, but I suppose we're on the same grid as all the V8 supercar drivers. So, you know, we're in front of team owners and all that sort of thing. So last year we won at Sandown down in Melbourne, set lap record down there. And after that, we were invited into the Erebus. For those who follow supercars, Erebus is a pretty big team. They invited us into their pit garage, and it just sort of gives you that opportunity to be noticed by the big guys.
I love when you say we, because it's such a team sport, isn't it? Which people don't really realise that, but you'd have a massive team behind you.
Yeah, it really is. So, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I'm sort of the front guy, but I wouldn't be able to be anywhere near close to what I am without all of our support crew. And
how big is your team?
About 3 or 4 guys that usually come to the track. But then, you know, we've got everybody at home that helps me out. I've got a team of marketing people who sponsor me at the moment, doing all of our social media and website stuff. And I work pretty closely with them, because without that sort of thing and the self-promotion, I don't really go anywhere, because it's all about, you know, the sponsors and how you represent your sponsors. And that's sort of, yeah, where I work.
When you're driving around the streets in your regular car, I'm always interested to chat to people who are into motorsport. Is it hard to just go the 60k? I know you got to go the limit.
They're probably more cautious, I'd say. Is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do... coaching for like defensive driving and that sort of thing as well. So I am right. Pretty conscious of it. But, you know, when I have days, if I'm driver coaching in someone's McLaren or their Ferrari down at Sydney Motorsport Park and I jump into my Falcon station wagon to drive home, it can be, it can be a little bit off-putting.
Get sluggish on the...
And to be honest, it's kind of a good thing, because it's just like sitting on the couch. I don't really feel like you're trying to go fast.
Right.
So, yeah, but you definitely, I mean, like I'm an adrenaline junkie, so I can't really help it, but yeah, you sort of got to hold yourself back.
How
on the
do you
roads.
Get into something like that?
My father actually is a race engineer. He worked in NASCAR doing a bit of shake and bake over in America.
Talladega Nights represent.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the big time for NASCAR over in America. That's huge. Yeah. And so how long have you been racing for? Like, did you race go-karts and then into like smaller cars and then into the 86s?
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, I did go-karting from the age of 12 till I was about 18 or 19. And then from there, I was offered a chance to drive in the V8 Ute Championship. So we did that for a little bit. GFC hit us, and the sponsor thing got a little bit hard. But we've kind of worked on it from there, and now the goal is to try and get to supercars. And, yeah, the 86 series is a really good pathway for it.
So if you're a kid listening right now and you want to get into it, go-karts the way to go is to sort of start from that level.
Yeah, for sure, because it teaches you the very basics. A lot of people who don't go through karting don't have as good a racecraft, what we call where you learn how to fight against each other and drive door to door. That's one of the main things that a race driver needs to know, and also getting the feel for a race tire and that sort of thing. So yeah,
I reckon there'd be a lot of people listening who'd be like, I could have done that.
Yeah,
I always think that when I race go-karts. Me and my family, we all race go-karts over in Queenstown last year.
Yep.
Beat everyone.
Oh, yeah.
My dad was spewing. My dad's big into motorsport. Oh, so competitive.
What does he follow? The supercars?
Follows the F1s, all of that. He loves it.
Let me guess, Holden fan?
He is. Yeah. He's a massive
How'd
Holden
you guess
fan.
That? Well, a bit of breed.
I don't know. New South Wales people are always Holden fans.
No, he's Queensland.
He's a Queenslander.
He's a Queenslander.
Yeah, Queenslander. Loves the Holdens. Yeah.
Usually I find Queensland's always Ford. But
to be honest, I think he really gets into drivers as well. Like, he has his favourite drivers. Like, he loves Mark Webber and those guys and stuff like that. So
oh, good.
Massive fan, though. He'd love to meet you.
Yeah, yeah. We'll bring him in one day. We'll have to put him in the race car.
Oh imagine.
My brother
we'll
as well.
We'll be down with that. We'll get the whole family involved, don't worry.
Yeah, let's do that.
We do every day on the show.
Let's race a minivan.
Just quickly before, many female drivers? Because, I mean, Brie is a pretty good driver.
Yeah, well, Brie, we'll have to get you in for a look. But, yeah, Simona Di Silvestro, who I'm a big fan of, she's the first woman to have a full-time contract with V8 Supercars. So it's her first year this year. She's got 2 years after that. So she's driving for Nissan in the Harvey Norman team at the moment and doing really well. And I've got a lot of respect for her because she's come from IndyCar in the States. And, yeah, she's a pretty tough girl.
It'd be a tough gig to be in that scene, being a female. So that's awesome.
Mate, not the last time we'll have you on the show, that's for sure. Because
we'll be doing some stuff.
We want to do some stuff in the cars and that'd be great. But thanks for popping in. Luke King, local guy, good luck in Sydney. When is it?
18th to the 20th of August.
Get some tickets. Go and watch the
guys. Where can people follow you? Do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram, at Luke King Racing. Jump on there, follow me, look at our videos and all that sort of thing. Give us some likes.
He's a good-looking rooster too, so you won't regret it.
Do you want me to leave the room?
Can you leave?
So flattered right now. That's why I walked in with my helmet on.
He did.
He wanted to reveal it and be like, look at me, I'm good looking.
You're definitely not Gaundy. I didn't mean it like that.
Gaundy, you're a good looking guy.
Have you seen my fiance? I'm going all right.
Yeah, no, I didn't say you weren't. Awkward.
Just threw a pen at Bree.
Get up with Bree and Gaundy.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
The other day on the show.
We do a thing on our show called Amateur Acting. Uh-huh. And there's some great films that we absolutely murder. And we acted out a scene from What Women Want with Mel Gibson. And I think we've got a bit of a piece of us talking about afterwards, what do women actually want? What do women want?
It's a question I've not been able to answer.
You just panicked then. You were like, I really don't know.
I'm engaged to one and I still don't know.
It's a mystery to Gordon.
If you can tell me the secret.
I can't
what's
even
the secret?
Tell you. I don't know.
No woman.
No idea.
Exactly. It's an age-old mystery.
It is an age-old mystery. I love the piece from the movie What Women Want where Mel is talking about how he can hear what women are thinking.
I'm afraid to go to work. I'm afraid of my door woman. I'm afraid to get a cup of coffee.
Mr. Marshall, please slow down. Yes. Slow down. Let me make sure I completely understand what it is you're saying.
I hear what women think.
And listen to how messed up he sounds.
I know. Trust me, you don't want to be up here.
No.
It's messed up here.
You couldn't pay me.
I want to ask this morning on 13, 12, 16, what do women want?
Simple one, or is it?
You'd think it would be. Yeah. I mean, it's simple for me. I want a miniature pony and garlic bread.
That's not much to ask.
It's not much.
What's a girl to do to get a miniature pony?
Actually, and a Dyson vacuum cleaner.
Okay. But you got that Kmart one that they've just said is better.
That's
than a
true.
Dyson. So you're doing all right for yourself.
I wouldn't mind a Dyson.
13, 12, 16, we're going to solve the unsolved mystery, the age-old question.
Maybe it's just something that you as a female want. Yep. Maybe you're a male and you know what women want. We'd love to hear from everyone this morning.
Maybe you've got a partner and you'd like to just slip it in there so you can go, this is what I've been trying to say for so long.
I want him to propose.
Yes.
You know?
We want to hear from you, 13, 12, 16.
Get up with Bree and Gaundy.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
It is the age-old question, Bree, and we're trying to solve it this morning on 13, 12, 16. What women want?
What do you want? What do you want?
It's not that simple.
Do you want? God damn it. What do you want?
No, it is simple. Garlic bread and a lie down.
Is that too much to ask?
That's what I want.
I had a couple of guys call this morning. They think they know, Bree.
I'm interested in this.
All right, let's go to Adam in Kingcumber.
Morning. Morning,
mate. Hey, guys. How you going?
Good, thank you. What do women want?
Look, I don't think a woman really knows what she wants.
Fair call.
We pretend that we do.
Yes.
Well, that's right. My partner will say to me, you never say I look nice or you never give me a compliment. But the thing is, my partner will go and get changed and she says, well, how do I look? Oh, I think you look lovely. So then she goes and gets changed again. So then you don't say anything and you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
We're a complicated beast, Adam.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
They're as confused as we are about it, mate. So do you do that?
Of course.
So you get dressed, you ask someone what they think, they go, I really like it, then you go, I'm out.
I'm pretty...
Why'd you ask in the first place?
I'm pretty good with stuff like that, though. I usually, like, once I've made up my mind, I'm like, this is it.
Well, Cody's in Camwell.
It's not getting better than this.
Morning, Codes.
Morning.
Morning.
Do you think you know? I mean, you're a woman. What do you want?
Well, I know I'd be happy if I got an endless supply of kittens or cats.
Kittens or cats? Okay, well, we can, I don't know.
She's a cat woman.
Yeah, cat woman. But would that solve all of life's issues for you? If you got all the kittens and the cats, you'd be
really
eternally
would.
Happy.
I okay. had this argument about 5 minutes ago with someone, and I still stand by it. It'll solve all my problems.
Sounds right. like you're having this argument with a few people.
Yeah, quite regularly. All right, thanks
Cody
for
brings
call.
It up every day. Guys, I just want a bloody lot of cats.
That's all I need.
That's all I want.
That's all women want. Let's go to Charlie this morning in Shelley Beach.
Close the door. Get out or get in.
Sounds like she wants some help.
A bit of a mission there this morning.
Morning, Charlie.
Charlie.
Get out, hello.
Hey.
There she is. What do you want, Charlie?
An endless supply of food.
Endless. I think that's the winner, Brie.
I think she's nailed it this morning.
I think that's the winner. I think it's just food.
Any female. I know everyone says, oh, the way to a guy's stomach is his food.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's the same.
I think I've, just to add to that, and correct me if I'm wrong or not, but you want food mm-hmm. and for it not to go to your hips. I mean, if that could be solved, food that doesn't go to your hips.
Oh, see, you know, I feel like you've just described what heaven is.
Mystery solved, guys.
Done.
You're welcome.
Get up with Bree and Jaunzy.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Sunday night. I love this show.
Me too.
60 Minute Style.
They have some great episodes.
You're not really meant to mention
that. No, you're not meant to say it.
You're not meant to mention the competition, are you?
No.
When you're talking about Sunday night. Anyway. It's on Sunday night. It's on Channel 7, and Melissa Dawes, the host. And it's a big one this weekend because there's been a lot of talk around Bernard Tomic and everything that's gone on with him through Wimbledon and whatnot. And Mel joins us right now to tell us all about it. Morning, Mel.
Hey, Gondi. Hey, Bree. How are you guys going?
We're very well. It's always good to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, you're lovely. Anytime.
We've been watching the promos for what's to come on Sunday night. You've sat down one-on-one with Bernard Tomic.
Gosh, does anyone divide opinion more than him? Quite amazing. I've been seeing all the comments already coming through in anticipation. You know what? He is a really complex, confusing, confused young man. Really fascinating to talk to. Obviously, the conversation was hot off the heels of Wimbledon, where he bailed out in the first round, whatever you want to call it, tanking.
People were saying he faked an injury, Mel.
Yeah, and then did a press conference that I think everybody was just in shock. You know, when you're watching something thinking, really, what is this happening? And you know, talked about being bored and being over the whole thing, and then followed it up with another interview, you know, bragging about how rich he is and saying he kind of doesn't care. So I've gone into this interview thinking, you know, you're not really very well liked. And as I always do, I really try to be open-minded and, okay, I'm going to sit down and hear your side. Really interesting man to talk to. So he doesn't really care whether we like him or not, but he does want to be understood. And he goes into a lot of detail about who he is and why he's the way he is and why at the age of 24 he feels bored. He's been working since he was, you know, he's been playing tennis since he was 8, effectively working full-time or playing tennis on the circuit since he was 14. So he says for 10 years he's been working hard and he's just got to a point now where he's like, do I want to keep going? How much can I put in? Am I over it? Am I bored? Have I lost my motivation? All of those kind of factors, which it's really interesting because I kind of think if you take the tennis element out of it and you think how many people might be in a job that they're a bit bored with but still do it.
It's very true.
To say it and to do it in the way he said it was really quite confronting.
Yeah,
and
but
and almost to rub our noses in it, how wealthy he is, I think that was probably what tipped it over the edge.
Well, the problem is he's never had a real job. So he does know what it's like to actually rock up 9 to 5, make minimal money.
And live in the real world.
If he knew how good he had it, you'd be going all out to make that the number one thing, wouldn't you?
But then he looks at it that it is his real job, you know. He slugs away, he trains, he's on the circuit, he travels the world. I actually think he's got a pretty lonely existence. So we've caught up with him over here in Miami where he trains. He's got no one with him, you know. His family's not here. He doesn't have a girlfriend here. he hangs around with sort of, it's a bit of a party place.
Obviously, yeah. You sat down with him in a room. What was your vibe? Like mm-hmm. being there personally, one-on-one with him, like even when the cameras were off, what was your vibe?
Look, he was very polite, spoke to everybody really nicely, well-mannered, all of those things. He is very arrogant and he admits it. At the end of it, all of the crew, all of us said, you got to respect his honesty. Like, at least he's not lying. He's telling it how it is and how it is in his world.
Yeah, obviously seeing, you know, we've got Tomek, we've got Kyrgios, and they're all both Aussie tennis players, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a bit of a common thing. Do you think it's because here in Australia, obviously when we get some talented players like that, we give them way too much praise up front and they kind of get, you know, a big head about it and then they turn into, you know, a bit of a monster?
I don't know, because I wonder, I mean, I suppose you could say that across the board, couldn't you, just in general? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure being pumped up from the age of, you know, 12 and told you're the next best thing and how awesome you are and probably surrounded by people that are feeding your ego all the time is not healthy for mm-hmm. anybody. It's interesting because I said to him, you know, this current crop, you know, you look at him and Nick Kyrgios and how different they are to the previous generation, the Pat Rafters, and even going back to the Ken Rosewalls. And, well, yeah, Leighton Hewitt was, you know, pretty wild in his early days and not overly liked until he kind of pulled it all together. So, you know, look, I said to Bernard Tomic, am I kidding myself? But I imagine, for me, tennis is a gentleman's sport. Wimbledon, I think of whites, I think of Pimm's and lemonade. But I said, is it different now? You know, has it become a different sport? Are we still living in the past? And you guys are just different players and different personalities.
It is a fine line, though, isn't it, Mel? Well, you don't want to stamp out personality either. You don't want them to just become boring, generic people. Like, you want them to have a bit of personality, a bit of flair. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But
and
I think when they're quitting, when they're rolling
that
over,
get there, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you, and I think you got to have a bit of fire to get to the top. But I also said to him, we like a bit of humility. I think Aussies love it when somebody's a little bit humble and appreciative and thankful, and it's taken a lot of people to get them to that point. And don't just sit there going, I'm great, I'm rich, where I'm at, you're not. You know, you can't have that attitude. There's got to be something in the middle. And I think he acknowledges that why people don't necessarily like him, but he's also quite defiant in, well, this is who I am, this is where I'm at, this is my headspace right now. I actually think he just needs probably, he's got no coach at the moment,
whether
a good coach can come along and help him. But he talks about the future and, you know, I think he still has it in him. I think he still has that fire in the belly that he wants to achieve.
Yeah, look,
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's going to be great on Sunday night. And it's easy for me to sit back and criticise and whatnot. But, you know, if you handed me multiple millions of dollars, I'd probably be a wanker as well, Mel. So, I mean, what can you do? Yeah. You know?
I mean, Gaudy already is and he doesn't have that money.
Yeah, that's what I said to him. I'm like, mate, living in Miami, it's not going to last forever.
Mel, always enjoy the show, no matter who's on and who you're chatting to. So we look forward to this one because there's a lot of talk around Bernard Tomic at the moment.
It'll be really great to see Sunday night, 7 p.m. Prime 7 and Channel 7 mm-hmm. with Mel Doyle.
Thanks, Mel.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bree. Bye, guys.
Get up with Bree and Gaudy.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3. CFM.
Shaggy with Boombastic. I still love listening to the lyrics of that song.
I just like hearing him go.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that in the
last part. He was like making weird noises.
He's eating he's loving what he's tasting. Isn't he?
Garlic bread.
Does he say couscous perfume? I'm looking up the lyrics. I'm trying to find couscous perfume.
Oh, I do love couscous.
I'm not a couscous fan. I'm more of a fried rice guy. First time I ate couscous, I thought it was fried rice. Got the shock of my life. Never gone back to the couscous.
You know what I don't like? Polenta.
Oh, me either. Don't give me any polenta. Give me mash. What?
Polenta.
What?
Is like couscous's crappy cousin.
Oh, they're all. I put them all in the same category. I don't want to know any of them.
None of mine's a couscous.
Don't come at me couscous or polenta.
I'm loving this couscous chat.
We should dedicate a segment to couscous.
Oh, trust me. Don't even get me started on pearl couscous.
What day would you put the couscous chat if you could pick a day of the radio calendar?
Every day.
R&B Fridays is taken with music. I mean, doesn't mean you can't get the couscous chat in
there. Couscous Wednesdays.
Doesn't rhyme though, does it? I'll go with the name.
Yeah.
couscous, yeah. Let's think about it, guys.
Can we move on from the couscous?
People want more couscous, do they not? We're so late for the news, and when they go back and listen to this, they'll be like, this is what they were late for? This?
Couscous chat.
The couscous stuff.
All right, let's get into the weekly rap rap. Bree and Gordy, weekly rap rap. Jack the Rapper, accountant by day, rapper once a week here at CFM. We give him the biggest news topics of the week, he puts them into a rap.
Do you reckon he likes couscous, though?
I mean,
with the
couscous.
Okay, what have we got this week?
All right, in the wrap this week, we've got Federer winning Wimbledon. That happened early in the week.
Oh, what a legend.
I know. We've also got, remember that guy we had on the show, Mark Kropp, and he was making headlines this week because he had the big face tat.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
From New Zealand. Yes.
Couldn't get a job. Yeah.
He's in there.
Of course.
And also the banning of plastic bags has made the wrap this week.
That's been big this week. All right, we wrap up the show with this, with the biggest topics of the week. We'll catch you tomorrow for our Saturday show from 7. We'd love to have you there. Have a great one.
Bye.
Here he is, Jack the Rapper.
I don't mean I'm not here to devastate, but my face is so clean you can't relate. I'm talking about you, Kiwi Mark, with your face tag, yuck. You're unable to find a job, sympathy, blah, blah. You got 45 offers, you turn them down, la-di-da. You think you can aim for the stars, take the first thing you can get and be grateful, be blessed. Stop trying to think that you're better than the rest, but who's better than best and continues to impress is the great Roger Federer, aced another test and won the Grand Slam Wimbledon success. Another title championship and go with the rest in the flesh. One of the greatest of all time, shot so finesse, a class act so fine, who was able to shine and define the odds of ageism in the present time and what's present and implemented as of very soon. Plastic bags to be removed, stay tuned from major companies like Woolworths and Coles, Harris Farm Markets. About time we sold and moved away from non-biodegradable bags. It's unfortunate that it took this long, so sad, but at least something's happening, so we gotta be glad. Shout out to the planet, we don't wanna make it bad.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.